Hi, I'm Shona, and today I'm going to talk to you about what I've achieved and things I've done since I had my nearly fatal accident in February 2017. So one of the things I mentioned was I had a lot of, I basically had some brain damage, and I was left with quite a lot of fluid on my brain, and for a year, just over a year, probably about 15, 16 months, I was unable to drive, even if I was in a car with somebody else, and even went over a slight hill, I would be in absolute agony. And when I got out of the car, the feeling was like I was drunk. I couldn't walk in a straight line. So imagine when you're coming down in an aeroplane and you feel like your ears need to pop. I couldn't even release that. So if I pressed my nose and tried to release the pressure in my ears, it wouldn't release. And it was just awful. Luckily, I've had that fixed now and it doesn't happen. But 11 months after I had the accident, we had a skiing trip booked to Tiene in the south of France. And it was all paid for, and I'd never skied before, and I'd really been looking forward to that. So my consultant said, look, you may as well cancel it. There's no way you're going to be able to ski. You're not going to be able to fly. And then you're not going to manage the altitude. And if you fall and land on your face, well, that's just going to be ridiculous because you've had your whole face rebuilt. So just cancel it. And I was like, no way. I'm going to get there. All right, I might not be able to fly, but we'll get Eurostar. So there was a big bunch of us going. There was about 50 of us going. There was a big trip booked with a number of people. So we got the Eurostar down, and I thought, well, I'll deal with the altitude of getting up on the ski lifts and stuff when I'm there. I realised slow release ibuprofen was good for that. The only bit I did struggle with was when we were climbing on the bus up in the mountains, but actually that was quite slow because we had an avalanche fall in front of us. There was so much snow that year. It was January 2018. There was so much snow that there were avalanches falling everywhere, so it kind of kept on stopping us in our path, and we'd have to wait while the snow plows dug us out. So that was actually quite a blessing in disguise. So because I'd never skied before, the first few days were in ski school anyway, teaching us the basics, and I kind of picked it up quite quickly, really enjoyed it. And then when it came to going up in the ski lifts, what I'd have to do to get up to the, took me a few days to get up to sort of the red runs, and that's the max. I didn't even think about doing a black run. I'd get off at each level, so I'd get off the lift and then wait for the pressure to release. I'd have to wait about 10 minutes or so and then get back on. So it did take slightly longer than maybe I'd want it to, but that was the way I dealt with it. And coming down the mountain wasn't too bad because I wasn't that quick. So it wasn't as if I was coming down of, you know, 60 miles an hour like some of the skiers do, being my first time. But you know what, by the end of that first week, I actually did my first race. I wasn't very quick, but I still raced, and I did it, and I really enjoyed it. So that was the first hurdle. Then in August 2018, I was like, right, one thing I'm going to start doing now is setting myself challenges. I've always been into my fitness anyway, and my husband was in the forces, and he left in 2011, and he struggled with PTSD. And towards the end of, or middle of July, he said to me, how do you fancy taking part in a half Ironman? And I said, when is it? He said, 3rd of August. Now, the summer of 2018, if you can remember, was a very hot summer. We had temperatures in the mid-30s throughout most of it. And one of the things I'd struggled with since my accident was getting back on a bike. Now, before my accident, I was a very keen cyclist. I teach indoor cycling, so kind of stick to stationary bikes these days, probably wise. And before as well, I also used to do 100-mile bike rides, did velathons, did Ride London. Didn't have any problems. You know, yes, I'd come off my bike a few times, but nothing to this extent where I'd come off and broken nearly every bone in my face. So this was going to be a big challenge for me to do this. But I thought, you know what, mind over matter and all that, I've got to give it a go. And we were doing it with Team True Spirit. And I sat with these guys the night before the event, and listening to their stories was just so inspirational. You know, these guys, they're part of the Invictus team, and some of them have got limbs missing because of being blown up in Afghanistan. But they just don't let it even bother them. They're not fazed by it. And whatever means possible, they get around this course. It doesn't matter how long it takes them. And they've got their demons to deal with. What I hadn't taken into consideration was the pain from wearing goggles doing the swim. Because where I'd had a lot of the surgery, I'd broken all the bones around my orbital area and completely smashed my cheekbones. So that was one of the worst parts, wearing goggles for sort of 40 minutes or so. So the first part of the bike ride actually wasn't too bad because I was in a lot of pain from that. And then when the half marathon started, at that point it was about 11:30 in the morning and it had already got up to 33 degrees. But I'd heard a few times that when it comes to doing endurance sports and things like running, 90% of it is mental and 10% of it is physical. So it's just one foot in front of the other. And a very close friend of mine is Ben Smith, and he'd done 401 marathons in 401 days. And now he's doing another crazy challenge next year in the USA, which is just insane. But, you know, he does it. And having a chat with him about it was kind of where, it, you know, remembering what he said about just one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, do it. You know, by the end of it, I'd lost my toenails on two of my toes, which was just really gross. But I just threw myself in the lake at the end, and I felt so proud that I'd done this. What I hadn't realised is a couple of days later, the impact of just doing the running and maybe even wearing goggles had caused me to have a stress fracture in my jaw. So I couldn't eat again for about another month. I was back on the soup and the smoothies. But again, great for the waistline. But that was my next challenge. And then I thought, right, I'm going to set myself a challenge now every year to do something quite crazy. So this year's event was a few weeks ago. I took part in Spartan UK, which is an obstacle course where you run, and then every few meters you've got an obstacle. And it was best way of describing this, I'd say, was a cross between World's Strongest Man and Ninja Warrior. So you come to an obstacle, and there was a 50 kilogram Atlas stone. You had to walk or run, couldn't run with it, across, about 25 metres, drop it, do a number of burpees, pick it back up, walk back. Then you had to carry a sandbag, walk up a very, very steep hill, about 100 metres, 100 metres in another direction, walk down the hill with it, and then put it down. And the most challenging part, I'd say, of that was when you had to pick up a 50 kilogram bucket full of concrete. And the only way really of carrying that was on the back of your neck, which I soon realised was a big mistake. And apparently I turned white and I almost threw up. But again, I did it. And I now run a mental health foundation with an ex-professional footballer, David Cottrell. And, you know, this foundation makes me so proud every day because it's a safe environment where you can come along. If you've got any mental health issues, you just sit, you can listen, you can talk if you want. There's no cost to anyone to come. And we've had people come along to the foundation, even only as far as 2 weeks ago, who couldn't even say their name because their anxiety was so bad. And yet, last weekend, we took part in Invincible in Pembrey Country Park in West Wales. And it was either 10 or 15 kilometres with, again, obstacles. Not as bad as Spartan UK, but different on a different level. And everyone who comes to our foundation meetings took part. And seeing them get everyone over the line and finish together and have a big group hug was just so emotional and inspirational. And some of the guys hadn't even run 500 metres before, never mind 10 or 15K. And, you know, one of them, she'd only just had a baby 3 months ago. And, you know, she said, I will get over that line if I even have to crawl over it. And it was brilliant. And, you know, that left me with, even though again it was a hot day, it left me with goosebumps. And that's why I do what I do. And, you know, so next year's challenge, as I've signed up for a 20 mile obstacle course, and apparently it's got 200 obstacles in it. I've given myself what 10 months to train, but in between that, I've got to go in for some major surgery. I've got to have a full hysterectomy and part of my bladder removed. But you know, again, I don't see that as a, you know, as a negative thing. I'm looking at the positives that I know I've had enough knockdowns and setbacks in my life that I'll come back from that stronger. As Kelly Clarkson says in her song, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." Without struggle, there can be no progress. You know, I've got that tattooed on my leg, and I'm not going to let it defeat me. So, bring it on, guys. I'll keep you posted on how I get on next May. If anyone wants to join me, it's in Lincolnshire somewhere. So, yeah, bring it on.